Welcome to the Igniting Hope Podcast, where you will experience catalytic encouragement and practical tools to renew your mind with truth instead of lies, so you can experience transformation in your emotions, circumstances, and influence. Let's break off self-limiting beliefs together like never before.
The title of today's message is Elijah, what are you doing here? We'll be talking about the prophet Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 19. This is going to be a great message. I believe it's going to inspire you. It's going to ignite your hope, increase your influence, give you keys for personal freedom and breakthrough, and also keys that you can give to others as well. Hey, before we get into today's message, let me tell you of a couple things happening at Igniting Hope. First of all, if you're listening to this podcast soon after its release, we just started our Culture of Empowerment for Parents online 6-week course. And it is really, it's a good one. We've been recording it and I'm very fired up about taking the principles from my book, The Culture of Empowerment, and releasing them to parents. And I believe it's going to really impact those who are involved in it, taking the course, and bless their children and bless the whole home. And we're starting in April our transformational mind renewal course again. It's a 5-month online course made for people on the go. If you really want to go deeper and dive deeper in this message of joy and hope and renewing our mind with truth instead of lies, I believe this is for so many of you who are listening right now. This is going to be a step that's going to bring great freedom. First, freedom on the inside of you, then freedom in your circumstances. So go to ignitinghopeacademy.com for both of those courses, ignitinghopeacademy.com. And hey, if you're not able to afford a course, contact us at info@ignitinghope.com. Let us know what you can do. We always want to work with people. Now, let's get into today's message. Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, 1 Kings 19 is an interesting chapter because in 1 Kings 18, it talks about the prophets of Baal. And I mean, it's one of the greatest events in all of Scripture, one of the most powerful moments of a demonstration of the power of God, of one man, Elijah, who was used of the Lord greatly. And then at the end of chapter 18, he prays and has his servant go look 7 times. And on the 7th time, the servant sees a cloud the size of a man's hand. And it just, the drought broke. It was a breakthrough instantly and deluge of rain. By the way, he told his servant, look again. And I'm hearing that for you again. Look again. Look again, look again for that wisdom. Look again for what God's doing in your family. Look again for where your favor is. It's there. But as he moved into chapter 19, or as the story goes into chapter 19, Jezebel said, "Hey, I'm taking you out." And he ran. He ran. And he ran for his life, it says in verse 3. And he became suicidal. The good thing, he didn't stay suicidal, but he became suicidal. Now, I look at who God used in the Bible and it encourages me. Because if I was God, I wouldn't have used half the people he used. And I love how the Lord shows us the faults of people, not as an excuse for our own faults, but as hope for us that even as we're in process, even as we're overcoming things, even as we're overcoming maybe some emotional battles like Elijah did here, he wasn't always on top. He wasn't always euphoric. But yet the Lord used him. And he was so significant that even when Jesus was transfigured in the New Testament and on the mountain, it was Elijah and Moses, the two Old Testament characters, one representing the law, Moses, and then the prophets, Elijah. And Elijah was held up. Hey, this is, he is to be esteemed. But Elijah got in the cave, and he was not only, and really the question is, if you consider this in verse 9, God asks him, what are you doing here? And then he ministers to him and then asks him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah was not only in a physical cave, he was in a spiritual cave. And the signs of a spiritual cave are this: what you believe is true is not true, even though it feels really, really true. Let me say it again. The signs of being in a spiritual cave is this: what we believe is true is not true, even though it feels really true. Now, feelings don't validate truth. They just validate what we believe is true. I used to believe I wasn't saved if I didn't feel saved. The fact was I was saved, but my feelings were trying to tell me something else. They were coming from a faulty belief system. There's times I don't believe I'm righteous because I don't feel righteous. Again, feelings don't validate truth. They just validate what we believe is true. If we want a different emotion, we need a different belief. My wife goes into this so well in her book, Victorious Emotions. Now, Elijah, when he was asked both times, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said this: I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life. And again, he asked him again in verse 13, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. He was one of the most anointed people in the whole Bible, but he had a faulty belief system. When you put enough pressure on him, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He had a belief system that was not correct. He said, I'm the only one left. And later on in the chapter, the Lord tells him, I have reserved 7,000 others who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Other words, Mr. Prophet, there's 7,000 times more happening that I am doing than you think I'm doing. And I want to just say this: God is doing 7,000 times more than you think he's doing right now. But he was in a good place, because Elijah, because of disappointment, spiritual warfare, fear, and tiredness, those exasperated, it increased his faulty belief system. By the way, lies sound more real when we're tired. Lies sound more real when we're disappointed. Lies sound more real. But God says, no, that's not true. You know, there's many who would even prophesy today. They would prophesy out of their own disappointment, out of their own frustration, out of their own spiritual warfare, out of their own unresolved issues. And what they feel is true is not true, but they think it's true because it feels so true. And so even today, as I share with you, by the way, there's people within the sound of my voice right now who the Lord is extracting from spiritual caves. And I believe this, that even around the world right now, where there's disappointed leaders, where there's fearful leaders, where there's leaders who just are in spiritual caves, whether it's prophets, teachers, pastors, business people, dads, moms, husbands, wives, the list can go on, that all around the world right now, people are coming out of caves. People are getting the revelation that what they thought was true is not true. And we teach here strongly at Igniting Hope Ministries that any belief system that doesn't have hope attached to it is under the influence of a lie. Any belief system that doesn't have hope attached to it is under the influence of a lie. And again, Elijah had this belief system. He's pressured. And that was like automatic. You squeeze them hard enough, that's what comes out. I'm the only one left. They've killed all the prophets. They're coming after me. And I don't want to be critical of Elijah. But the Lord just says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And you know, when God asks a question, because it says the word of the Lord came to him, but the word of the Lord came to him in a question. You think when the word of the Lord comes to us, that it's not going to be a question, but it's going to be a promise or direction. Verse 9, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, sometimes the greatest word we can get from the Lord is a question. Because when God asks us questions, he's not wanting information. He's setting us up for revelation. That's why great leaders are great question askers. Great parents are great question askers. Resolvers of conflict are great question askers. Because it's in the proper question that we're able to pull out what's already revelation and what's in people. But also the question that we're asked can also reveal lies that we're believing. Again, Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm so glad Elijah, he didn't stay in the cave. He came out of the cave. And it's all the whole chapter in 1 Kings 19 just talks about the Lord ministering to him, giving him rest, giving him food. Just talking about still small voice, hearing the Lord. But then he also gives him an assignment that really got him out of the cave of anointing three people for specific things that they were doing. And I believe even for you, and I believe it's a prophetic word for many of you who are listening, there's three key people the Lord is just saying, invest in, invest in, invest in. Wow, wow, wow. Elijah, what are you doing here? Steve, what are you doing here? And I just see that again, this is a time where people are coming out of caves. People are coming out of caves. And what's interesting is Elijah just, I mean, and Jezebel said, if by this time tomorrow, you know, I haven't killed you, then let the gods, what did she say? If I don't make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time, said, let the gods do to me and more also. And it's interesting. I mean, Elijah, he had 40 days where he was functioning on certain amount of food. It was after 40 days he went into a cave. It's interesting, Elijah, that didn't happen. It didn't happen. What he was afraid of didn't even happen. It wasn't. And by the way, let me just add this. A University of Cincinnati study said that 85% of what we worry about in the negative never happens. And the 15% that does happen, most people find a successful way to navigate through it. Let me say that again. 85% of what we worry about never happens. And for most people, the 15% that does happen, most people find a successful way to navigate through what did happen. And so even what he was afraid of, even what sent him into a panic, didn't even happen. Oh my. All right, hey, if you like this message, why don't you tell somebody else about it? And wherever you listen to this podcast from, if you're able to put a comment in, we always love comments and just that these minister to you. Or you can just let us know at info@ignitinghope.com. Hey, I love these podcasts. That always encourages us. Hey, I'm going to be in Carmel, Indiana in March here. You can look at our website at ignitinghope.com for the exact dates. I will be there over a weekend. And then in April, I will be in Wichita, Kansas, and in Pennsylvania at the Dove Leadership Conference. And then in May, I will be at Bethel, Atlanta, and also at Life Church in Salem, Oregon. Love it. If you were able to be at any of those meetings, to come up and say hi. And we are here at Igniting Hope Ministries to ignite your hope. I believe after love, hope is the most powerful leadership influential quality there is. That our hope level determines our influence level, and he who has the most hope has the most influence. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Basically, that verse says, now may the God of hope fill you in believing. Increasing hope is the evidence we're renewing our mind with truth instead of lies. Decreasing hope is the evidence we're renewing our mind with lies instead of truth. That changed my life. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and we have the power to help make it so. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and we have the power to help make it so. And remember, too, the joy of the Lord is your strength. A merry heart is good like medicine. To be strong and to be physically and emotionally and mentally strong, joy and a cheerful heart are a key. We don't laugh all the time. We weep with those who weep, but laughter and the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. I said, well, you know, Lord, I'll be joyful when all my problems and uncertainties are over, when I'm completely pleased with everything that I'm doing, when I'm not hearing any negative news in the media, then I'll be joyful. The Lord says, hey, Steve, if you're not joyful now, the chance of you being joyful in the future are slim, because your lack of joy is not a circumstantial issue. It's a you issue. It's a belief issue. Oh, thanks, Lord. And for pretty much everybody listening today, today's just not a good day to be radically joyful. By the way, one of the questions that the Lord asked me, Steve, why are you not radically joyful now? That question, by the way, that question will accelerate your growth. You'll find out why joy is one third of the kingdom, because you'll need to upgrade your theology to have radical joy, your identity to have radical joy, how you do relationships to have radical joy. Again, pretty much everybody, I've never found a convenient time to be that joyful. There's two ways I love to share on joys that increase it. One is through Thanksgiving, as we focus on what we have rather than what we don't have. By the way, somebody who listens to my podcast every week, something's going to happen with you in the area of Thanksgiving, because you're going to really find out again why Psalm 100, it says we enter his gates with Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is a gateway to joy. It's a gateway to many things. But you're going to find something there that's really going to shift you. I hear a Thanksgiving movement is coming through you, revival and reformation through Thanksgiving alone, breaking off ungratefulness, the victim mindset. Yeah, it's good. So we focus, we increase joy by focusing on what we have rather than what we don't have, what we think we don't have. Focusing on what God is doing rather than focusing in on what we think is not happening. And we increase our joy by delighting in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What a great verse. What a great verse. The delighter is delighting with unfulfilled desires. The delighter is delighting with disappointments. The delighter is delighting with things that he or she wants to see happen that haven't happened yet. And it's in the delighting that's a key to seeing the desire fulfilled. Because people who delight in the Lord are living while they're waiting. And that's a great fruit of being a hope person. Faith people who don't value hope are waiting to live. They're waiting to live. They're subconscious saying, I can't fully live until that happens. I can't fully live until that person gets their act together. I can't fully live until my financial situation is changed. I can't fully live until I get married. Whatever it is, I can't fully live until that mountain is removed. Now, the delighting piece is a piece of the pie that's going to cause it to happen because it's a sign of soul prosperity. 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And I'm just seeing a delighting in the Lord being released over you. The delighter says this, woohoo, Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. I'm so excited to see what you're going to do in my life, in this area of my life, in my family, in my finances, in ministry, in my nation. Wow. So powerful. And one more thing I want to say, I just want to remind you of here is that we love to talk about the power of our words. You can't change your life with it without changing how you talk. I've written a book called Declarations Unlocking Your Future, a book called You're Crazy If You Don't Talk to Yourself, a book called Declare It with Declarations, 15 Beliefs to Repent and Renew Our Minds with, about 96 different areas, 15 declarations and beliefs for 96 different life areas. It's really, I just heard someone today from, or this week from Germany say how much that book has impacted. He and his wife have gone through those and are declaring those together. Declare it. It is a great, great book. Hey, why don't we take a moment here, and I've been doing this, and I love it. You taking 5 seconds to pray for us at Igniting Hope Ministries, for Wendy, for me, for our staff, for those who are currently doing our negativity fast, positivity feast. We have over 3,000, right about 3,000 people who are doing it and got different languages. We're about halfway through right now, and it's good. Even praying for those. We have so many, over 1,000 new people who've never done it before are a part of this. And we have repeat people as well. So you can pray for them. You can pray for our Parenting Culture of Empowerment for Parents course, TMRC, Transformational Mind Renewal course. And we just have a lot going on. IgnitingHope.com, IgnitingHopeAcademy.com. You can find out what's happening. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, ignitinghope.com, we'd love for you to do that. You can receive a blog every Monday, and then usually on Thursday, we also send information on something we're doing, an opportunity of how you can deepen this mind renewal hope message. Anyhow, if you take 5 seconds, 5 seconds of prayer by attaching faith is more powerful than 30 minutes of where we're just praying out of religious duty. So why don't you pray for 5 seconds for us, then I'm going to pray for you. And if you're able to, just out loud, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank him specifically for what you prayed. Water your prayer with thanksgiving. It increases the effectiveness of prayer. And Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for this individual right now who's listening has come to the end of this podcast, is listening right to the end, doesn't want to miss a word. I honor you for that. And I pray in the name of Jesus for your hunger and your honoring me with as a hope ambassador, that you would just receive just a great impartation and reward for your hunger, and just breakthrough in your thinking, breakthrough in your belief systems, that just like Elijah, he got breakthrough, you're getting breakthrough. And I'd speak life over your finances, over your physical health, over your family, over your calling, in the name of Jesus. Protection, spiritual protection over you as well. Every tongue that rises up against you is condemned. No weapon shall prosper against you. You are the blessed one. You are the protected one. You are the hungry one. You're the one with open doors. You're the one with ideas. You're the one nobody can say it like you. You're the resilient one. You're the overcomer. You're the one who thinks God's thoughts. You're the one with wisdom and solutions. And you're entering a new season of breakthrough in your emotions, relationships, finances, and influence. Hey, thank you for those who have sown financially into Igniting Hope Ministries. It's really a blessing. You can go to ignitinghope.com. You can find where you can give if that's in your heart. And if it's not in your heart, that's fine. We just are so thankful for all of you who are a part of our Igniting Hope family.
Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part of our live stream of this Igniting Hope podcast by joining our social media channels on YouTube and Facebook and hitting notifications. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Help us get the message of hope out to more people by liking and sharing this podcast. Also, we have so many more incredible resources for you, including books, events, and courses on our website, ignitinghope.com. And why don't you say this concerning the message in today's podcast? I receive it, and I'll never be the same again.